May it please the court, counsel. My name is Jennifer Kemp, attorney registration number 41605 with the law firm of Center Goldfarb and Rice. And I'm here today representing the town of Castle Rock and the Castle Rock Town Council, the appellants here and the defendants below. And we're here to ask you today to reverse the district court's finding that the Castleton annexation was void. The town council did not act in excess of its jurisdiction or abuse its discretion because competent evidence in the record shows that the town council only relied on compliant annexations when it determined that the Castleton enclave was entirely surrounded by the boundaries of the town and therefore could be annexed as an enclave pursuant to the Constitution and the Annexation Act.
When you say they only relied on compliant annexations, so I take it you're excluding the 2004 annexation of the two roads. Is that correct?
That's correct. The main issue in this case is whether or not the 2004 annexation was relied upon by the town council in order to determine that the Castleton area was completely surrounded by the town. Now, there's no evidence that shows that annexation was actually relied upon in order to determine that the Castleton area was, in fact, an enclave.
Well, under the statute, an enclave must be an unincorporated area, correct?
Under the statute, yes. An enclave is when any unincorporated area is entirely contained within the boundaries of the municipality, the governing body may annex it as an enclave.
And that's the outer boundaries of the municipality, right?
Yes, it is when it's entirely contained within the boundaries. So that's what you're looking at, is the outer boundaries.
Correct.
Of what is being annexed.
So the annexed roads are between the enclave and the town, correct?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Well, what I'm trying to find out is part of the area surrounding the unincorporated enclave includes these two roads. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. There's also an additional section of the town, and I don't know, perhaps the map will help us here, but there's also this additional section which was a part of the town as well. So essentially the boundary is entirely around the town.
Correct.
The enclave, pardon me.
But so a part of the area surrounding the enclave includes these roads, right?
Not in order to create the enclave status. No part of the surrounding boundary, which entirely circles the Castleton area, it includes those roads.
I don't understand your answer. The roads are part of the town, are they not?
Show us on the map. We don't understand.
Sure. So this is in the record. This is something that
yes.
The town reviewed during the town council meetings. And this is what we're showing here, the annexation of Ordinance 2004-49, and that's the non-compliant annexation. But that is not relied upon as a surrounding boundary. The surrounding boundaries are, in fact, the Meadows Parkway annexation, which provides part of this northern boundary here, the Castle Pines commercial annexation, which provides part of the northern boundary, Castle Pines commercial annexation 2, which provides the rest of the northern boundary, and then the Metzler Ranch, which is the entire western boundary. So again, the roads, the 2004 annexation, are not relied upon in order to determine that the enclave is entirely surrounded by the town.
Well, relied upon is not language that's used anywhere in the statute. The statute doesn't talk about an enclave being something that's relied upon in an ordinance. The statute says an enclave is an unincorporated area. And then it's my understanding is the statute does not allow an annexation of an enclave if any part of the surrounding territory includes land that was improperly incorporated and improperly annexed. Excuse me. Is that right?
That's correct. The exception, and I'll just read that. It's 3112-106-1.1, exception to annexation of enclaves, Roman numeral 2, any part of the territory surrounding the enclave was annexed to the municipality without compliance. And then on review, the district court and this court on review may review the findings and determinations of the governing body in annexing any territory which in whole or in part resulted in the creation of the enclave. So these are the territories which are at issue. The Metzler Ranch, the Castle Pines 2, Castle Pines 1, and Meadows Parkway, because those are on review, what this governing, or what this court can look at to determine what resulted in the creation of the enclave.
Why are we limited to that?
Why are you limited to?
Well, I mean, what you're saying, which I think you're saying, and if I'm wrong, correct me, is that when there's a problem, I mean, there's a problem here in terms of the fact that there was an improper annexation that occurred in 2004. And what you're saying is the city can get around, or the town can get around such an exception simply by drafting the ordinance in such a way that pretends that that doesn't exist. Is that accurate?
Well, no, they can't pretend that the enclave is not surrounded by the boundaries of the town. It must be surrounded by the boundaries of the town, and it is based on those annexations that we just discussed. So they can't just decide, oh, well, this one doesn't, I mean, I guess I'm not understanding your question. It does need to be entirely surrounded by the town, and that is what happened here.
But no part of the territory surrounding the enclave may include land that was improperly annexed.
That's correct.
And here, part of the area that surrounds the enclave, which by definition is unincorporated area, includes these roads.
But that's not what the town relied upon to find the enclave, and I would like to.
But why are we bound by what the town relied upon?
Well, you're bound by what the town relied upon based on that language in 116-2B, which is on review. The court may review the findings of annexing any territory which in whole or in part resulted in the creation of the enclave. And that's what the town determined, those annexations in whole or in part created that enclave. Also, I would.
But the enclave that they created by doing that includes those roads.
That's correct. Those roads, as well as the additional unincorporated or town land here, it becomes part of the enclave.
Okay.
Additionally, I would submit.
So the enclave includes a lot of incorporated territory, right?
I don't know about a lot, but it does include two separate sections. The 2004 annexation, they're both in 2004, of the roads and this additional square.
And let me just add, how can that be when the statute says that an enclave consists of unincorporated territory?
Well, I would submit that that is because, you know, I apologize, I'm not certain that that was contemplated when they were looking at the annexation. It was that the town was entirely surrounded. I would also just like to point out that on an annexation review, it's this court, as well as the district court's job to give every reasonable inference to the town, and because it's a legislative action, to presume that the legislative action is in fact correct. And again, this question that part of the town was now then unincorporated was not brought to the town council. They didn't review that. That's not in the record. And so by applying every reasonable presumption in favor, and by looking at what the town had, I mean, that's part of the standard of review as well, is to review what is on the record before the town at the time. They reviewed those annexations which entirely surround the area of Castleton, and they did not rely on anything else to form that boundary. And again, that's what the review here is, to determine whether or not they relied on any of those to create the Castleton enclave. Now, I would just like to point out that opposing counsel, the plaintiffs, suggest that there is evidence that this annexation was relied on, and that is actually not appearing in the record at all. There was mention of this annexation in the first reading. There was some PowerPoint that may have stated that it did comply, but that was brought up by plaintiffs at the first reading and was explained to the town council at the second reading and on the motion to consider that that was not a boundary on which they were relying in order to create the enclave which surrounds, or the boundaries which surround the enclave. Additionally, there was comment from the town project manager, as well as from the engineer who provided the town boundaries, that this was 100% contiguous. And again, if you're looking at the annexations which were relied upon, that is true. There's nothing stating what they were relying on. And so the record is clear that what, based on the record that was in front of the town, that they relied upon annexations which did comply with the Constitution. And the district court did not make any findings based on that. It simply jumped from the conclusion that because 2004 annexation was non-compliant, then this one also must be. And that is in error because it wasn't relied upon, and it certainly didn't afford.
Let me stop you right there. The fact that the town council relied on some facts and didn't rely on others, that doesn't change the language of the statute and the Constitution, does it?
No, Your Honor, it doesn't.
We do have an illegal annexation.
The 2004 annexation.
2004.
Which was never, no one ever objected to that. It's still part of the town.
But it still was an illegal annexation. Isn't that a poison pill that prevents the town from ever annexing surrounding territory?
Well, I think that you could see it that way, and I think that that would be an absurd result. In this case, if you see that this annexation spoils this enclave from being annexed, even if the town of Castle Rock were to grow to New Mexico, they could never annex this as an enclave. Simply doesn't make any sense. The enclave is completely surrounded by the town, and therefore it's eligible for the town to annex it pursuant to the Constitution and pursuant to the statute.
Council, let me ask a hypothetical question.
Sure.
Let's assume that those roads were a piece of ground that the city did not want to annex. It was unincorporated, the city didn't want to annex it, didn't include it. But yet the roads and the Castleton commercial area are all surrounded by the city. Can they then annex the Castleton area and just leave out the area of those roads if they want to?
I don't believe that they can, because the surrounding boundary then would be that. So we're assuming that the roads are not part of the town?
Right, the town.
They're not part of the county.
Yeah, and this town doesn't want to annex them for whatever reason.
Okay. Yes.
So you have the commercial area here, you have the roads that are not going to be annexed, and then all around all of that is Castle Rock. Can they annex that Castleton area under those circumstances?
And leave out the roads?
Yeah.
I don't believe so, because then it breaks the seal. Those roads belong to the county, and that would be a border.
But why aren't they a border then in your facts here?
Because the town did annex them, because they're part of.
But they can't use them because it was an unconstitutional annexation.
Right, they can't use it as a boundary. That doesn't mean they can't use it as part of the enclave which is annexed.
Okay.
Thank you, and I'll reserve what time I have for rebuttal with your permission. Thank you.
Very good.
May it please the court, my name is Charles Norton, registration number 10633, appearing on behalf of the plaintiffs and the appellees in this case. The court has, through its questions, already identified the key issue in this case.
Let me ask you a question. Isn't there another issue that perhaps should be addressed? If an annexation, although illegal, is not attacked by law, doesn't the, you can't attack that annexation after a number of years, isn't that correct?
Your Honor, the statute actually addresses, the statute provides for judicial review in this case, actually addresses that precise question, and that is section 3112.116. It provides that a prior defective annexation that was defective either under the statute or under Article 2, Section 30, may not be set aside as the result of a review of an enclave annexation. So the area that was defectively annexed remains within the town of Casbah, but it cannot be taken into account for the purposes of determining the boundary or the propriety of enclave annexation. And equally importantly in this case, it should be looked at for the outcome that the area that was defectively annexed entirely consisted of public rights of way and roads. Was defectively annexed for two reasons. One was that the ordinance of annexation did not recite that the area did not consist of public rights of way and roads. And second, it's clear from 3212.106 that in fact an annexation that is simply of public rights of way is defective and void. So the review statute, the statute in 3212.116, provides that you examine that situation, the court determines that the prior annexation was in fact not valid. It determines that there was in fact an annexation that provided a new boundary for Casbah, a new southern boundary for Casbah, which directly abutted this Castleton property and which was to the south of West Castleton Road, finds all of those things, and then is forced to conclude, I think by the mandatory language of the review statute, that the enclave annexation, the proceeding that's before this court, is defective on its face and has to be set aside. The language which is used is it shall be set aside. Now, having made all those findings, then, the district court was cautioned that that is not a way of collaterally attacking or invalidating that 2004 annexation and somehow concluding that that area is not part of the town of Casbah. You're quite right, Judge Sternberg. The time to review the 2004 annexation passed 60 days after the initial enactment of the annexation ordinance. So the statute actually contemplates this possibility. A prior defective annexation, which was not judicially reviewed, still continues to stand on its own in terms of defining the town's boundaries, but also has to be reconsidered, reevaluated, when the procedure for an enclave annexation is under consideration, as it is in this case.
Thank you.
To return then to the briefly to the defects in the 2004 annexation, I think they've been pointed out and essentially conceded by the town. And I would urge the court to look at the aerial photographs which were tendered into the record, both by town staff and by the petitioners, by the plaintiffs in this case. There's a particularly clear one located at page 414 of the record, also a series of slides which the town provided at pages 621 to 623. And you will see that this defective annexation, this 2004 annexation, resulted in a clear shift in the boundaries of the town of Castle Rock. It shifted them to the south and to the east and caused them to directly abut on the Castleton annexation area. When that happened, the test for an enclave annexation was irretrievably failed, because there was no way that the town could annex this parcel without including surrounding territory that had been defectively annexed under the statutory procedures and had been defectively annexed under Article II, Section 30. So again, in response to, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just wondering, what is the, what legislative, legitimate legislative end is achieved by imposing that in perpetuity bar on annexing the remaining enclave? I mean, the town is growing around there. There's nothing that it can do to prevent people from opening slaughterhouses, brickyards, whatever in that area. I realize other governmental entities can, but the town doesn't have the ability to regulate it. What legislative purpose is served by such a rule?
There are two.
By the construction that you're placing on.
Very good, John. And this is also in response to a question I believe just Judge Sternberg asked earlier. The situation here is that, in fact, Castle Rock is not barred in perpetuity from annexing this area. What it is barred from doing is annexing it pursuant to the enclave procedures that are contained in 32.12.106. So if they wish to annex the area as part of their urban planning projections and function, they can go through the procedures that are contained in 32.12.1.
And your action in this case pretty much indicates that that's a useless act. So they are, in fact, barred in perpetuity.
Well, Your Honor, I'd have to say, and I'm not trying to be facetious when I say this, I'd have to say that as long as my clients own property there, yes, you're probably right. They probably won't get a single vote in favor of an annexation if they have to conduct one. That doesn't mean that ownerships can't change over time. That doesn't mean that there might be some sort of residential development in this area that would bring a new group of electors. Future generation can take up that problem, and they have plenty of procedural opportunity to do so. I might also add that in addition to the fact that the landowners here would have to consent to the annexation, either through a petition in which there was consent of 50% of the owners numerically, or 50% of the, and 50% of the territory that's owned, or there would have to be a vote. There are also considerable procedural safeguards in a standard annexation, non-enclave annexation, that work in favor of property owners and residents that aren't present here. So, for example, the town of Castle Rock would have had to hold a public hearing in which it made certain legislative findings that there was a community of interest between Castleton Center and the rest of Castle Rock, that there was an element of contiguity in terms of boundaries, that there were other percentage interests in terms of the use of recreational facilities or that type of thing, that those were used by people who own property within the enclave for annexation purposes. All of that is swept out the window if you have an enclave annexation. And that's part of the reason that the parties in their briefs debate the standard of review to some degree, but I don't happen to think that that debate really affects the outcome here, because this was a classic abuse of discretion. There was evidence on the record, uncontradicted evidence, that the 2004 annexation was invalid. That was never contested by the town. In fact, at one point, the town staff said, we have to acknowledge this was defective under Article 2, Section 30. There was also an abuse or an excess of jurisdiction, because the only reason that the town has the power to annex in this fashion without these procedural safeguards and without a vote and without the consent of the property owners, the only reason that they do is because it's an enclave. Other than that, we default to the position that's taken by the people in 1980 when they passed Article 2, Section 30, which is to say, in all other circumstances, if you're not dealing with an enclave or with municipally owned property, people are entitled to vote on annexation, or they can consent to it, and only with their consent can it be undertaken.
Council, following up on Judge Miller's question,
yes.
If I remember correctly, and you may have been more deeply involved in this than any of us, wasn't one of the issues in that amendment flagpole annexations which created enclaves? And it, is this statute enacted to prevent the flagpole annexations from creating enclaves? Is that part of the legislative intent here, if you know?
That was, as I understand it, Your Honor, and we did some analysis of legislative intent. I have to say that some of what I'm doing here is based upon memory, too. But that was certainly a part of the concern. But there was also, in the temperate times, a very real desire or thrust for what I guess I would call popular sovereignty, for the right of people to voluntarily decide to join a particular political community if they wish to do so. Now, the text of the amendment had considerable support from people in the Municipal League and so forth. There was a bargaining process. It was a lot more populist, so you could have a lot more choice when it first started to be talked about. But as a result of that bargaining process, some of these exceptions for enclave annexation and so forth were built into the language. But a lot of the initial desire was simply to protect people's right to vote, their right to choose, their right of voluntary association.
I understand that, but my question still is, what is the legitimate legislative purpose for applying the statute the way you're suggesting it should be?
Well, I think first the legislature was very sincerely attempting to take the text of Article 2, Section 3, and they are empowered, as you know, by paragraph 3 of the section to pass such statutes as are necessary to carry that provision into effect. And their desire was to prevent a couple of situations. One was the Constitution's very clear that if there is a petition for annexation, the ownership has to be evaluated by excluding streets, alleys, roadways, and so forth, and also by excluding property which is under municipal ownership. So the effort in this particular case was to make sure that that could not happen, that in fact, when the annexation, even of municipally owned property, was approved, there would also have to be a recitation if this was not a roadway, a street, or an alley. The second remark I would make, which I think may be of some importance, Judge Miller, is that this is a place where the legislature has the authority to create, to take away political powers from these political subdivisions, largely as it sees fit. We have a large body of Supreme Court cases, for example, which hold, United States Supreme Court cases, which hold that, in fact, there are not due process rights that are enjoyed by municipalities or equal protection rights that are enjoyed by municipalities. And so part of the motivation here may have been political. It may have been simply to place a check on annexation and to give a greater distribution of authority to the people that live within these areas. And that is, for these purposes, in this kind of legislation, that is a perfectly legitimate end of government. It's something that the General Assembly can do. It can create rules that address this balance in the fashion that it sees fit.
Well, Mr. Norton, to follow up on Judge Miller's last question, our job in interpreting a statute is to arrive at the intent of the General Assembly. And in so doing that, we are to give one of the words used in one of the cases is a sensible interpretation. We should interpret in a way that arrives at a sensible result. Is this a sensible result?
Absolutely, Your Honor, I believe it is. For two reasons. One, there's always the option of employing the full-blown annexation procedure with public hearing, with the vote, and so forth. That option is always available to Castlerock. And I think that's an extremely important point. The other is that part of what the town is asking you to do here, and this kind of goes to the heart of the matter, part of what they're asking you to do here is release them from what may have been a tactical mistake in 2004. They annexed this property, the North Castleton Road annexation. They shifted their boundaries. They were no longer able to take advantage of the procedure in Section 106, which said you can disregard those intervening areas that include public rights of way as part of the equation. They had the power to control that situation. and didn't choose to do so.
Thank you very much, counsel.
Thank you.
Ms. Kemp, I think you have 52 seconds. And the clock won't start till you're ready to go.
Thank you, Your Honors. It's clear from your questions that what we're struggling with here is how to interpret what the town did in a reasonable, sensible way. And I think that it's been illustrated that by eliminating the Castleton area for, as an enclave based on this old annexation, which was never challenged, doesn't make any sense. Both the people and the legislature have allowed enclave annexations for exactly these reasons. And as Judge Miller stated, to not allow such an annexation would allow slaughterhouses or who knows what, something that the county might allow that the town doesn't. And maybe that's not in perpetuity, but that's for the foreseeable life of this town. And additionally, these owners, these landowners, I'm sorry, I will not continue because I'm about 2 seconds in. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, counsel. And thank you to both counsel for your excellent arguments. The case is submitted and a decision will be forthcoming in due course.